Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Brie.
And this is CSI Talk. Welcome back, another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Before we begin today's episode, just a reminder, this is a safe space for you. This is always going to be a safe space for you. Well, just a quick thing before we begin our breakdown of episode... This was episode 8, right? 8, the of season 3 of CSI Vegas.
I think so.
Yeah, the artist is present. Well, as I'm sure most of you have seen it online. Actually, this was reported yesterday by Deadline. Well, last week, it was reported by Deadline that CBS was working on a new show set on the CSI universe. So some of us thought that it would still be CSI, but set in another location with different characters. But it's not that. Well, if you're listening to this, to our show, and if you watch CSI, you probably watch other shows with the same genre, which is true crime. CSI Crime Scene Investigation and CSI Vegas are based on true crimes. They are based on true cases that happen. Everything that we've seen on the show, most of them are based on cases that actually happened, but we have never, probably most of us have never heard of those cases, or maybe some cases happen in your country and it hit the news worldwide. And when you see an episode of CSI and you recognize some tropes of the storyline of the episode and you remember about a particular case that happened in your city or in your country, maybe because the episode is a ripoff of the case that actually happened. Well, that is called true crime. Our podcast is not a true crime genre podcast. It's about TV shows that deal with fictional type of crime cases. Well, why I'm saying this is because Deadline reported that the new show that is going to be set on the CSI universe is going to be a true crime show, but it's going to be set in Miami. So I'm going to read to you part of the news that was reported just yesterday on May 7th. The Real CSI Miami, true crime series set at CBS from Jerry Bruckheimer, Anthony Zeiker, and Magical Elves. CSI Miami is getting the docuseries treatment. CBS has ordered an unscripted series based on its iconic crime drama, The Real CSI Miami. It comes from CSI creator Anthony Zeiker, Jerry Bruckheimer, who has produced the franchise and nailed it, and Top Chef producer Magical Elves. The series will feature real-life crime cases and the cutting-edge forensic science used to solve them. It basically says that it is part of the CSI franchise, and it is set to premiere on Wednesday, June 26th, as part of the summer schedule on CBS. Now, our show here so far, it has covered CSI Crime Scene Investigation, CSI Vegas, and CSI New York. We are planning on cover CSI Miami and CSI Cyber in the future.
At least the first season of Cyber, because that's the only one I can get access to.
Yeah. Now, since we have never actually covered a true crime, like a case that happened in real life, but we have spoken about it. I mean, at least I have spoken about it, about some crimes that happened, but I have not get into detail. Like when they talk about some things on the show and we get into detail here, because it's an episode breakdown, we get into detail here and sometimes we talk about some things that reminded us of, or when sometimes we go on a deep dive of the miniature killer, or sometimes when we go on a deep dive about, I don't know, Jack the Ripper or something like that.
Ted Bundy, the Green...
Yeah, or the Green River Killer and all that. You know, but, I mean, we could totally cover this, but the thing is, it will be covered by me, not by Bree. Because technically CSI is fiction. I mean, it is...
Half majority of the time, they don't even put a disclaimer that it takes after real crime, while stuff like Law and Order does that all the time. And I don't watch that stuff anymore.
I don't remember any episode that there was a disclaimer first.
I think there was one or two.
There was like one or two episodes that there was a disclaimer first.
Yeah.
Because there was, I think it was like pretty early on. Because I think I remember those episodes, like from, and they were exclusively from crime scene investigation because of the topics. Anyway, I think one of them was MTIs, if I'm not mistaken. But the thing is, crime scene investigation and CSI Vegas, CSI Miami, CSI New York were mostly fictions based on cases that actually happened, but taking creative liberty. So the true crime genre has always been famous, like, since, like, the beginning of time, you know. I think even Grissom acknowledges that, like, in one of the episodes. Grissom even says, like, this morbid fascination has always been a part of humanity. In one of the episodes, I think it's theory of everything, if I'm not mistaken. And since the pandemic, it should speak, because people really wanted to know how somebody got brutally killed, no matter where they lived. But, and there are several podcasts, shows, and documentary out there about this topic. And could we cover this show? I mean, I would be the one to do it. And CBS has done a similar thing, but with the FBI. And honestly, it was taking a long time for CSI to take that leap, if I'm being honest, because most of the shows that deal with forensics, they are actually from the UK. I'm pretty sure there's a show called The Real CSI, I'm not mistaken.
Well, here in the States, they sometimes go to the forensics with shows like Dateline and 2020.
No, yeah, but like a show is exclusively focused on forensics, the forensic side of things, like not just a segment on a show, but like exclusively focused on forensics like CSI. And I think maybe that's what The Real CSI Miami is going to be focused on. But from the name, obviously, it's going to be cases that happened in Miami. And also the article from Deadline exclusively mentioned David Caruso. We don't know if he has any ties to the show. We don't know if CBS is going to bring any stars from CSI Miami, I mean, any stars from CSI Miami to be on this current show. I don't think Adam Rodriguez is going to be on the show because he's busy with Criminal Minds. He's busy being a profiler. Why be a profiler when you can be a CSI? Well, if they could bring Emily Proctor, I mean, I know Kelly is one of the fan favorites. I don't know. But the show is going to air on Wednesday. Well, I know that some people say that, okay, after Vegas, I'm not going to watch it anymore. I'm not going to watch it anymore because it's DEAD. Look, let's not be too harsh, because if the show was really dead to you, you wouldn't come back to it. You wouldn't come back and watch Crime Scene Investigation. If the show wasn't as famous, if this entire franchise wasn't alive, there wouldn't be constant reruns on several countries.
And yeah. Places like Pluto TV would not have a channel just for the CSI franchise.
Yeah, and like, I can speak from personal experience. Whenever I feel nervous, I just put on an episode from Crime Scene Investigation, specifically from season 7, because you guys know that it's my favorite season from Crime Scene Investigation, and it calmed me down instantly, because I love that season. It's my favorite season. We can feel at home when we watch CSI. I know everyone is gonna miss CSI Vegas. I think it's too harsh to not give it a chance to The Real CSI Miami. At least not until you watch the pilot episode or the first or the second episode. That's just, you know, let's just watch it and give it a chance. It feels kind of bittersweet because the show is season three is ending, and then like we have another show, but we don't know how season three is gonna end. And we don't know the end of this character. At least with the real CSI Miami is going to be one case per episode, I guess. I don't know. And we might see some familiar faces, maybe. You know, at least Anthony Zucker is back. You know what could be back? The saturation filter from CSI Miami. Well, anyways. So, yeah, we had to tell you guys about this new show that is coming. But since the name of our show is CSI Talk, and this show is from the universe of CSI, I mean, if you guys want us to cover the show, obviously we're going to cover. We're going to open a voting on our Instagram, which is at CSI.talk. Again, it's at CSI.talk. And then you guys can vote whether we should cover this new show or not. If you want, I mean, I would be the one covering the show, but if you guys want me to cover the show, I would totally do it. If not, then I won't. It's totally up to you guys, but we're still gonna go on, you know, covering all the bases, you know, covering Miami, New York, crime scene investigation, and cyber. But today is about CSI Vegas, and it's about episode 8, The Artist is Present. And I know you guys were thinking about a miniature killer because of the theme. I was too.
I was three.
I was freaking out when I heard that.
I said something before she could say anything.
Brie was like, did you hear that? And I was like, what? Okay, so the episode begins with the previously on, and it's all about that Robert Cuevas case that we have been following. That girl that Serena was talking, she has gone missing. By the time Max arrives, Bo is already processing the scene, and she tells Bo to process the closet because there are some clothes that were pushed to the side. Apparently, that girl wanted to make a run for it after talking to Serena, I think. I don't know, maybe she wanted to just tell Serena everything that was going on and then got out of the city, because it turns out she was wanted by the FBI too. Or maybe she didn't want to talk to Serena and she just wanted to leave town.
She knew who Serena was from the very beginning and just played her.
Do you think she knew who Serena was since the very beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Well, but Serena seems so sure when she tells Max, it was my fault, I was here too late, and she was literally just a few minutes left behind because she tells Max, like, look, the wine is still wet because the apartment is a mess. Obviously, the girl who the name is Valerie, she fought off her attackers, and she tells Max that Valerie was ready to tell her everything that happened in the factory with the robots and everything. But she was taken. She was kidnapped. According to Serena, when Valerie came home from work, her house was broken into, and they were already waiting for her. Girl, if you get home and you see that your door is already like half open because somebody broke into your house, you do not get inside your house. You get away and you get help. You cannot go to the cops at this point because you're wanted by the feds. But like, you get out of there. Like, come on now. She shouldn't have gone into her house. She should have just walked away. But this is an actual tip for you. If you get home, you who's listening, if you get home and your door is kind of like open, you get away, you get out of the place you're in and go to the streets, go to a crowded place and call the cops and say that somebody broke into your house, but do not make any noise. And if you have to fight, make sure to get a DNA.
Especially if somebody who does not like guns. Everybody, nails, even though some might be very short, make sure to get their DNA.
Yeah, bite them off, you know, scratch them. Especially if they are a male. One of the man's most sensitive parts is actually the Adam's apple. If you
punch them right there.
Yeah, punch them or just squeeze them.
And then knead them where the sun don't shine.
Exactly, yeah. And then get out of there as fast as you can and just ask for help. Make as much noise as you can. Serena tells Max that she missed them by minutes. Serena says that she's not gonna be able to find Valerie because Valerie is also one of her alias because the she's also got another name from ID card that she found in the kitchen from New Mexico called Christine Baird, and apparently this girl is also wanted by the feds. So it means that the FBI is taking over the case. Should I remind you all that Catherine used to work for the FBI? Why not?
Could be a different branch.
Yeah, I know, but like she has worked for the FBI for a while, right?
Yeah, she did work it for a while with,
Josh's twin brother
Scott.
that we've never acknowledged. You know, it would be so much better if we had acknowledged that the whole situation. Because it would be so funny if Josh had a twin brother that works on the FBI and he was a CSI. Because the story would have taken another toll. Can you imagine if like they arrest Josh on the first episode of season three, right? For alleged murder one, and then somebody calls this brother of his, like I don't know, Allie or maybe like Serena. Serena calls this brother up and be like, "Yeah, so your brother just got arrested," and this guy flies up from Quantico, and he gets to Las Vegas, and he's like, "Josh, what are you doing?" And Josh is like, "Somebody killed mom." It would be so funny.
It would have been.
You know, if you guys can remember on the episode that Catherine leaves the lab, she goes to the FBI, and on this episode, Meloria played FBI agent, and this FBI agent was the one that got her into the bureau. The FBI wants her for insurance fraud, and they are taking the case from them. And before they do that, Max spots a drop of blood, a glass shard on the floor. She asks Bo to get the sample. Well, that drop of blood is really back to Hannah's in the end. Well, and then we go back to 5 weeks ago. There is an apparent victim on the table, and then there is a man going through an anatomy book, and he is looking through what appeared to be the right now, the nervous system, right? And then he goes back to the victim to cut her open. And it's really funny because then we go to what is actually going on, and the woman that discovers the crime scene is listening to I'm Walking on Sunshine. And then when
It's just called Walking on Sunshine.
She's literally walking in sunshine and she's about to open her shop. She finds like the thing, right? So she calls the cops and then the cops walks out because like they are not sure if that's real or not. So they call the CSIs, right? In this case, it's Allie, Chris, and Josh. They don't know if it's actually for real or not, right? Because they're like, okay, this could be real, this could not be real. And they don't know who is gonna go up there. And Chris is trying to pull rank because, you know, Allie, because just like, I'm not gonna make my girl Allie go up there. So he's trying to get Chris to go there. And Chris is trying to pull rank by saying age before beauty because Josh is older than him. And Chris is level two and Josh is a level one. Chris is the one who ends up going there. Mind you, we're not seeing what you're seeing right now because we have no idea what you're looking at. Chris goes up there to see if it's true. So he does a test on the eye. Why the eye? On why not the other parts of the body? The coroner says that 98% of the eye is made of water, so that's why. And also, there's thin blood vessels on your eye, on our eyes. So he does the test, and it is human. It is human. It's an entire nervous system, but mind you, the nervous system is actually red. It's not white. It's actually red. What the killer did is he put silicone over the nervous system and then he painted white. They are interviewing everyone that works on this car dealership. They ask if the cameras are working. Sorry. They ask if the cameras are working, and the cameras are not working because there was an attempted break-in last week, and they never saw who did it. So they're collecting the fingerprints, but it doesn't match anyone. And there is one in particular that says that there's a man in particular that says, "I'm gonna help you guys in any way that I can because you guys helped me find out what happened to my fiance last year because she died from a drunk driver." Also, this is a first for Catherine because she was never in a crime scene that actually had an entire nervous system. And I must say, Grissom would eat this up. He will literally be so fascinated by this. He would go back to the morgue with the specimen body. What should we call this? Victim? Because we don't have all the body.
Nope.
Should we call it specimen? Well, we go back to the morgue again.
Half an
Even
experiment. Actually, no, technically a third.
fifth?
A third.
A third?
Because those two other scenes with the body that
Oh yeah.
completes it.
Yeah, a third, yeah. So even the coroner, Dr. Hudson, is actually really impressed by the killer's work. But he said that you could learn that online, and he says that this is plastinated specimens, and these are actually created for medical schools and museums. So if you donate your body for science, this will probably happen to you. Your body is going to become plastinated, or it's going to be used to for students to study you or something like that. And also, Chris brings up something that I didn't mention. He said that Michelangelo was a grave robber. This used to happen a lot back in the day because the church wouldn't allow anyone to open the bodies. Medical schools would pay grave robbers to literally steal fresh bodies so they could study them. Or painters would steal the bodies so they could paint them. Because to make a painting, you have to stand still for a long period of time. Dr. Hudson says that the process is not very difficult. This is like, well, we're not looking for someone who has a very specific skill set. No. I mean, technically, yes, but also no. Because it has to be someone from that specific group, but it's not terribly difficult to make. Dr. Hudson says that if you were going to try and trace it back through the silicone that it was used, it would probably trace it back to the States or Brazil, which is true. Most of the plastic in the world is made by the United States or Brazil. Fun fact, in the past, when plastic was discovered, Brazil was one of the biggest, if not the largest, producers of silicone in the world. Yeah, I learned that. It's cool. Max tries to identify the victim through the humerus victor. I have no idea, but she tries to identify the victim through the eye. But then Dr. Hudson make another discovery. He says that the victim had Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is actually a disease that is a neurological disorder, according to the National Institute of Neurological Disorder. Is a neurological disorder that causes paralysis or weakness of one side of the face. I mean, that actually narrows it down. They actually find print on the brain of the victim, and they think is the killers. And Max asks Dr. Hudson to lift it off the victim, but the Dr. Hudson's like, no, I'm gonna call it Allie. She's got a better technique than I do. When Catherine, the detective, and Josh are getting the fingerprints from everybody at the car dealership, there is this woman that tries to flirt with Josh, but Josh is so not into her because, well, I guess he's really into Allie at this point. And back to Max. Max is in the lab. She's analyzing the blood that they lifted off from Valerie's apartment. But the thing is, the DNA was scarred. She says it was DNA scarring. I know that's when Max lost a lot of us. So I'm gonna try my very best to find you all again. I found this article from the National Library of Medicine. I didn't read the whole thing because there is not a, there is no brain cell inside of my mind that is going to understand what it says, but I'm going to just understand some of it. It means that there are distinct nuclear structures that sustain damage. Okay, inside the blood that they found, there is DNA scarring. What does that mean? It means that there are nuclear structures that sustains damage. Remember all those letters that we learned in high school, you know, A, G, you know, all those things, all those proteins that connected in our DNA. Basically, what Max said is that those proteins are not connecting, which means that something broke those connections. That's what it means, essentially. Okay, mm-hmm. That's what it means, okay? She says this is not natural DNA. When she says that is not natural DNA, it means that it's a DNA that was created inside a lab. It didn't come from a person. So it means that the DNA was planted. If that person didn't bleed. You know what? I saw a great example today in a CSI episode. Catherine and Sarah, they were doing a test to prove something happened in a crime scene with a victim. So Catherine got fake blood. She got fake blood and she dropped it on the floor. Which means that she did the DNA on the floor. It didn't come from her. She didn't bleed on the floor. That's what Max is saying. Like, it's not natural DNA. It's not natural blood, which means that the person didn't bleed. Somebody carried that blood into the scene and dropped it from something. Ellie, that's into brain that from the sculpture, from the specimen, to get the DNA.
From the skeletal remains.
From this, it's not really a skeleton. It's a nervous system. From the nervous system remains?
Maybe, you know.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's getting weird. And she does get print. But it doesn't match anyone. Dr. Hudson gives Chris some trace from the paintings so he can try and match from the database for paint so he can try and see where it came from. Ellie tries to match through APHIS and it doesn't match anyone, but they go back to a person that is not on the car dealership. It's from Jesse Moore. I don't know how they didn't see it, because from the picture you can kind of see that that this guy has facial paralysis, but well, anyway, so they go to Jesse's house, and there's a lot of sculptures, and again, the miniature killer theme is playing.
Just jazzed up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I really thought that we were going to see my girl Natalie Davis, but apparently she's still paying for what she did to Sarah, as she should.
And everybody else, not just Sarah.
Yeah, I know. But Chris gets a picture from the living room and he realized that Jesse Moore is actually their victim, and the killer actually planted his fingerprints on the gray. Yeah, and this guy Jesse Moore was not registered as a missing person. Catherine's like, okay, why, if this guy is an artist, why wasn't he hanged in an art gallery? Why was he in a car dealership? They find a picture of Jesse with this other guy that works in a car dealership. So Catherine's like, wait, I talked to this guy just today. And Chris is like, well, we have to bring him in again. That's what she does. They've realized that Jesse and the guy that Catherine talked to, they were actually related. They were brothers. Catherine does says that from the way they found his brother, it's not likely that the death was natural. And this guy does confess, like, they had a very bad relationship, that everything that mattered to this guy was actually his art and nothing else, and that's why he changed his name. His original name was not Jesse Moore. Catherine's like, okay, nobody reported him missing, and this guy's like, well, he was already dead to me, so it makes no difference at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is talking to Ransom back at the lab, and Chris is actually saying that He thinks that the killer is among the followers of Jesse. He thinks that someone from his audience is actually the one responsible for his death. Actually, Chris sees another side to this crime. He actually sees as the killer thinks is actually an art. He thinks he's an artist. This was actually hinted at 2 weeks ago during that episode, Atomic City, when Chris said something like, this looks like a Pollock painting. And he tells Josh and Ellie, when I was running the Chris Stolves account, his true crime account, I had to find an audience, so that we had to find you guys. And he had, a little bit of everyone. And then Ellie's like, where is your partner? And Chris is like, oh, she could day off or something. And then I was like, wait, Jack is not here either. You guys don't think they eloped, right? You know what? I'm happy for them if they did, but I'm gonna be so upset if they did because I really wanted to see her wearing a wedding dress.
It's possible.
I know it is, but I really wanted to see my girl wearing a wedding dress. I wanted to see her. I wanted to see Penny wearing a wedding dress, and I'm not. It's not gonna be in my imagination. That is unfair. Sarah Gilman, come save us.
If she can.
If you can, can you post something like with a dress and say this is how Penny would dress if she got married to Jack? Because it's really not that hard to get married in Vegas. There's like 100 chapels open 24/7. I really wanted to see her get married. She's my fave. I love her so much. I really do. Well, anyways, as a ransom shipper, I do have to say when Ellie says eloping, she immediately looks at Josh. We be living off crumbs, Ransom Nation. We are living off crumbs.
Yeah, it's just gonna be a crumble cake for you guys, probably. Like, I'm a shipper, but I'm not a strong shipper.
Josh does not really agree with Chris and says that he doesn't really think the victim is art. Which I kind of agree with. He does not see the victim as art, and Chris does see it as art though. Like, Chris, come on, get a grip, dude. I know people saw Josh as like maybe a jerk in this episode, and Chris that's more sensible. But anyways,
I was not a fan of Josh in this episode.
I think he's not so different from when Grissom was a lot tougher on some cases in which he was.
You can be tough, but also understand that people have different interests.
Yeah, I
Josh
know.
was just being not understanding of Christian's generation. I call out when calling out deserves it.
I think he only said that because Chris was investigating the case from an art point of view, and he thought that the victim was a piece of art instead of an actual victim. And Josh, he thought that the victim was a victim. He was a human being at one point. Josh did not even know what it took for the victim to die. At that point, they didn't even know. Nobody knew. For Josh to see Chris be like, first, I mean, Chris keeps teasing him about Josh being the one again after everything that he's been through. And I think Josh feels like Chris was kind of making fun of the victim when he shouldn't have. I don't know, I just thought. It ends up Chris was right. He was looking through the victim's what appears to be Instagram page, and he saw one of the sculptures was actually the position in which the remains was. Ellie is the one that realizes that the killer is a copycat. He's a copycat of Jesse's. Max turns Ocho on. I don't know why she turns Ocho on. Like, okay, girl. Isn't he recording something? Serena was calling the FBI just to know how far they were in the Valerie investigation, and they got nothing. The FBI literally got nothing because they called the co-workers, they called the friends, called the family, they got nothing. They don't know where Valerie is. As usual, the FBI didn't get far. Max tells Serena, well, bestie, we got nothing too. But our nothing is better because the DNA that we got has been altered. Remember how last week I said it will be really nice if somebody casts Ariana Guerra on a superhero movie. So this week she said, "Are we looking for a super soldier?" As in, are we looking for either like Steve Rogers, Bucky Barnes? No. Max says that no, it could be someone who's been treated with Spearmint Crispy therapies. Actually, is a therapy directed to cut DNA in target area, according to the FDA, enabling the ability to edit, which means remove, add, or replace DNA where it was cut. So yeah, I think this storyline is getting too convoluted. So I mean, if it was not too convoluted for the average viewer, we'd totally understand. So it basically means that the DNA that they found in the blood that it was in Valerie's apartment was actually subjected to CRISPR therapy. CRISPR therapy essentially means that the person was involved in the process that changed their DNA, which in the end we would find out that it added something to their DNA. And this something that he added, no machine in the lab could actually find out what it was. Also, Serena asks if it's actually human blood, and Max is like, yes, of course it has to be human blood. Chris and Bo, they are trying to find out what is the type of paint that was used to cover the nervous system. And again, we go back to latex because, of course, it wouldn't be CSI without freaking latex. If you know, you know. Bo and Chris, they spend the whole day testing through a machine that tests how the light goes through the paint. After Chris is done with that, Ransom and Chris, they go to a facility to meet with a doctor called Dr. Amato, get an opinion about the remains they have. And there's this very creepy guy trying to get a look into the remains. And he's like, it would be really helpful if we get a look into the remains. Can I get a look at the remains? That's really creepy. Anyways, Dr. Amato says that it is really impressive work. And she says that it has to be somebody outside of their community. It's not somebody inside. And she says that platination is something that it boils down to six steps, from fixation to dissection to dehydration to impregnation, positioning, and curing. And she says that everyone has their own variation, but there is no place for contamination. You cannot contaminate a body. It could affect the dehydration process. Technically, she's saying that death cannot be messy. So a gunshot would not work. Step to death would not work either. Any sort of trauma, heavy trauma, would not work. The perfect death, as they describe it, has to be kind of asphyxia or something like that. They said that the body has to be quote unquote clean, a clean state, no trauma at all, because the platination has to preserve everything. So asphyxiation would be ideal and quote unquote perfect specimen. It really makes you think twice about donating your body to science this episode, right?
Yeah, if my body gets donated.
I mean, to science though? I mean, after this episode?
Yeah, if my body helps anybody learn anything.
And the next scene, we see somebody setting fire to someplace. And then we have literally something out of a nightmare. When I saw this scene, you know what a movie that it reminded me of? You know, movie recommendations with me in the middle of the episode, because it just reminded myself of this movie again. Crimson Peak. The name of the movie is Crimson Peak. It's with Tom Hiddleston and Jessica Chastain. It was directed by Guillermo del Toro. It's a great movie. Tom Hiddleston acting is amazing. Well, anyway, so when I saw that, it immediately reminded me of that scene, because one particular scene on the movie, if you know, you know. But in this case, we see a heart. And it's he started a fire, destroyed any prints, any trace that they could find. But really, this time it was the circulatory system. It was a circulatory system. I have no idea how this guy did that, because
Same.
it's hard enough because there's thousands upon thousands of veins inside the body. How did he do that? I don't know. Detective is wondering if they have a second victim, but Dr. Hudson says that no, it's exactly the same victim because the circulatory system shows signs of paralysis, and it's actually, and now Dr. Hudson can say what was the cause of death. And also, apparently it is blue, the color of the cardiovascular system is not red as it shows. So
you should see what I'm showing Carter right now. You can see the veins in your wrist all blue.
Yeah, if you can, it's either blue or green depending on the color of your skin, but he painted red.
And the reason why it changes when it's, reason why we usually see blood as red is because that's usually what comes out of us, and that's more oxygen added to the blood.
Dr. Hudson says that the victim suffered from acute cardiomegaly. Heart was enlarged, essentially, which caused a sharp episode of pain. Dr. Hudson says that the cause of death was suffocation. And Josh says that one of the guys that he talked to, that creepy guy, says that that would be the ideal death for this purpose. They called this guy back in. And Catherine and the detective tried and talked to him about it. And he actually looks at the pictures and he says that everyone is different. He starts to describe what he would use. And it's completely different from what they have in the lab. So this is not our guy. Back to Valerie's case. Max says that the DNA is actually synthetic DNA. Basically, she's saying what we said before, the DNA was planted, it's not natural, it's synthetic. Somebody took real blood, gave it an enzyme bath, took all the proteins and all of that, and then tweaked the DNA beyond recognition, which means they cut the DNA open with CRISP technology, which means they edit the DNA beyond recognition. Just like Bo said, they took all the parts they didn't want it, and they put it something new. It's like if you write a fanfic. It's literally the same thing as if you write a fanfic. It's like if you write it a fix-it fic. You know, like how you watch a movie and you didn't like the ending? So you take everything that you've seen in a movie or on a TV show. You take the parts that you didn't like it. And you add something of your own. You just keep the parts that you loved it. And then you add something new to it. And you're like, this is my perfect ending. It's exactly the same thing. It's literally the same thing that they're describing. Does it make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is exactly what they're saying. And Serena's like, okay, so what are you gonna do with this blood? And Bo was like, they can do anything with it. They can put state secrets. They can put anything. When he was working at the company Dow, the labs were exploring DNA helixes as a way to store information. Like, I know that this, if the episode didn't lost you in the beginning when Max was talking about how the DNA was scarred, it probably lost you here when Bo said that the DNA could be a way to store information because it seems something out of Matrix or something like that. I know most of us kind of like simpler times when the freakiest thing that we've seen in CSI was the body that they took out of Lake Mead and they didn't know how it ended up there. Or like Russian spies that Sarah and Ray had to face. But this sort of thing already exists. I mean, it's not here just yet. But we have to remind ourselves that CSI Vegas exists on a timeline in which COVID is not a thing anymore. Okay, pandemic-wise, it's gone. Okay, everybody took the vaccine. The virus is gone. And they're probably on the year 2030 or something like that. And this technology might already exist in that timeline. Or maybe on their timeline, COVID existed and they already beat it and all that. And this thing already exists. I know it sounds a bit sci-fi-ish to all of us, but it could exist. It's not something so out of reach. We're talking the case that originated all of this. Blood drop that had a coded message inside happened inside a robot factory that supposedly killed a man. So is it really that far-fetched? I know it's kind of hard to understand. It shouldn't be that hard to understand, though. It shouldn't be that hard to understand. It should have been easier. I mean, I would take a serial killer case over this 10 times over. Because a serial killer case would be not easier, but a lot less complex than this. Chris, in the meantime, my boy, he is having a day. He is having a day. He's literally that meme. We know that meme when you walked into the car and he's like, what a day. What a day. He found a white paint. The white paint is called Brilliant White, used on Alfa Romeos, which is a car. The car is exotic. He found exactly 5 people with that car. Because it's an exotic car, so they have to knock on 5 people's door. Ellie is going to go with the other detective, and Chris is going to go with Chavez to talk with other people. But the thing about Chavez is that she's working this case and Valerie's case at the same time. So Chris had to wait for her. Chris and Chavez, they were literally on their first stop, while Ellie was already on her third. Not good. Chris and Serena, they are looking over this guy's garage, and Chris finds something creepy. He finds the face of the victim on the mold. Chris is like, Serena, you have to come and see this. I found Jesse Moore, and he sees the face. And if you pay close attention, you see somebody close the door. When Serena says, this is Serena Chavez, bed 6375, and why she's calling for backup. And then the killer goes and tries to attack them. Chris, tries to protect her. Like, my man, she is the one who has trained for that, not you. You're a CSI. And what is more creepy about this is that they find the literal skin of Jesse. It literally took me hours to fall asleep after this. There's literally a pain on my sawdust. But anyways, if you get it, you get it.
And I got that quote, Missy.
So,
that's what's the matter with me.
So remember the guy that said that his fiance had died? He had no fiance. He made it all up. He says that Jesse's art had kept him alive, so he wanted to show Jesse the art that he had made. So when Jesse had come to see him, you know what? That's why if you're gonna meet somebody you meet online, especially from dating apps, you tell somebody where you're going. You give somebody your location. You give somebody that you trust, the person you're going to meet, like their details and all of that. Then when Jesse saw everything that this guy had done, he said that it was horrible, that he didn't know her and there was no emotion. So he decided to kill Jesse. And then we find out later that there was no fiance, that the woman he was obsessed with did not even know him. Yeah. So what a day. Like, Chris probably went home like, what a day. What a day. So Chris is having problems, and Allie basically tells him, you know what? You just have to focus what is going on and just focus. Just come down and turn the next page, because there's going to be another problem tomorrow, like another crime for them to solve. Bo told Siri to send Catherine a message. Catherine's like, I was halfway to my car. What does artful, strong, Jenny baseball mean? That looks like me when I'm telling Siri to text Bree something, and Siri doesn't understand what I said. What Bo meant is like they found artificial strings of bases of nitrogen. The blood was planted to throw us off the track. Max went deeper. And basically, she found an encrypted code. Catherine's like, wait. We have encrypted DNA now? Yes. DNA cryptography is currently limited to certain niche applications such as military and intelligence operations due to technical complexity and cost involved. Well, I think that's why the episode lost a lot of people, because DNA encryption is possible. But the general public does not know that. Well, so I was like, so the A and T's and C's and G's, which basically what everyone learns in bio class, which are the protein strings that connect our DNA, they are replaced by whatever the person wants to. And Max is like, okay, now it appears to be some sort of computer code. And Max is like, I was able to export a partial one. And Bo is like, okay, it has to be a mistake. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And Bo was right to think something was wrong. There's an audio that is playing and it says, it's beautiful. And then the computer starts to delete. And apparently the file that says Valerie Harmon is deleting too. I hope it doesn't actually delete her in real life. And Bo shuts down the computer by actually pulling the plug. Max tells Serena to call it in because they got hacked. I'm gonna say it again. Like, this lab doesn't have money for anything. After what happened last season, they didn't even think about the fact that they had to buy an antivirus.
After this episode, I told my dad they need Penelope.
They need Penelope Garcia. They do. You know, because we all know that Penelope Garcia will not let that happen. I mean, she did let it happen a couple times, though. Didn't she? She let it happen, like, twice. Or, like, she let it happen once, and Gideon was really disappointed at her. And then, like, Hodge was like, okay, don't be so hard on her. Well, anyways, so, yeah. Next week's episode is the penultimate episode of CSI Vegas. It's episode 9. The name of the episode is Heavy Metal. And the description is, the CSI team investigates the death of a local antique shop owner who died from an apparent gunshot wound that is missing one important clue, the bullet. Also, Max makes an important breakthrough in the ongoing case with Ocho from the robotics factory. Okay, everybody thinks that Max is going to get kidnapped by the end of episode 9. I hope that's not true. Well, anyways, thank you so much for listening. We love you. Bye.
Love y'all. Bye.
Bye.